Hello and welcome to Best Comics Ever, presented by Comic Book Herald. I'm your host, Dave Busing, founder and editor-in-chief of comicbookherald.com, and as Batman says in Batman Lost Number 1, I'm not lost, I'm Batman, and I'm trapped in the dark multiverse. That's right, we're here today to talk about DC Metal, the new event from DC Comics that wrapped up at the end of March, just a week ago from when I'm recording this. This is Season 1, Episode 1 of Best Comics Ever, and each month's episode will be diving deep into either a comic book series, event, creator, or trend that is topical and essential in the realm of comics. If you're at all familiar with Comic Book Herald, you know this will generally hone in on one of the big two superhero universes of Marvel and DC, but there are certainly other avenues we'll explore as Best Comics Ever makes its way into, as the name suggests, some of the best comics of all time. So we'll go deep on topics of conversation around the pick of the month with a focus on themes, impact, and legacy, not necessarily of the Marvel variety, and then in the final section I'll be ranking the comic or comics on Comic Book Herald's list of the best comics ever. This list is currently upwards of 375 comics from Watchmen to Wanted, that's right, from best to worst, and is stacked with recommended reads. If you want to check it out, just go to comicbookherald.com/thebestcomicsofalltime. Put a hyphen there in between each word in the best comics of all time, and you'll be right on your way to exploring. Or, as always, check out our page at comicbookherald.com, and you'll be able to find your way easily. A quick note about spoilers. For this month's episode, I'll be breaking our discussion of DC Metal into short, manageable segments as I, again, sort of figure out the world of podcasting. I do want to address for spoilers, I'll be talking about DC Metal as someone who has already read the entire event. Now, I am not going to do an explainer or recap podcast. There will not be spoilers galore. That said, there is a chance of giving away some plot details as I make my way through this. I will attempt to warn you, but again, if you are unfamiliar with DC Metal and do not want to know anything, do not want anything spoiled, then I highly recommend you hold off on listening until you caught up on the reading, of which I highly recommend you do. The reading, that is, not necessarily the holding off. I'm just starting. Listeners seem like a nice thing to have. Here we go. Best Comics Ever, Episode 1. Let's talk about DC Metal. Some quick event facts about DC Metal. The event began with two prelude issues, Dark Days the Forge and Dark Days the Casting, in summer 2017 and ran through the very end of March 2018. There are six core event issues, meaning Metal number 1, number 2, on through Metal number 6, as well as two essential preludes that I mentioned, and 24 issues total, including tie-ins. This is relatively light as major superhero crossover events go, and I'll talk a little bit about why this approach is so appealing and helped DC Metal be so successful. If you want to see the issues in chronological order, you can of course go to comicbookherald.com/metal. That will take you directly to our Dark Knight's Metal reading order, which I have meticulously put together over the course of reading the event. The creators are Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo for DC Comics, primary writer and artist driving this spaceship, coming off their much-heralded New 52 Batman series. If you haven't read it before, I highly recommend checking out New 52 Batman by Snyder and Capullo. The series runs for, appropriately enough, 52 issues. If you have a Hoopla digital subscription through your local library, you can get all of these trades for free, or of course, as always, you can just check out your local library or Amazon, or go to comicbookherald.com and check out our Batman reading order. A million ways to check that one out. This is the first all hands on deck DC Rebirth event, following more contained crossovers like Justice League vs. Suicide Squad or Superman Reborn. To date, DC Rebirth has not had crossovers that scaled beyond 10 issues or so, so Dark Knight's Metal is essentially the first one that has done that. What happens? What is Metal? Why should you care? Is it interesting? Will it be of interest to you? In a nutshell, Batman is investigating mysterious forces and powers of various metals on Earth Zero, aka the Prime Earth that we all know and track our DC superheroes from a month-to-month or week-to-week basis. many DC events are Superman-centric. This one in particular, and it makes sense coming on the creative reign of Snyder and Capullo, it's a Batman-centric event. He's the driving force behind this, along with the core seven of the Justice League, including Wonder Woman, Superman, Cyborg, Green Lantern, The Flash, and Aquaman. As the Immortal Man states in Dark Days the Forge, the world of public heroes is careening toward a crisis unlike anything they've seen before. Now, crisis is not a word that is tossed around lightly in DC Comics. This typically encapsulates the biggest and most impactful events in the DC universe, and right from the prelude issues, there's the suggestion that DC metal belongs in this category. Now, in terms of nomenclature, it is not officially labeled as a crisis. For reference, you can see in 1985, DC had the big Crisis on Infinite Earths that sort of kicked off this status. Now, typically when a crisis occurs, it involves a multiverse or a variety of Earths that exist. You can think of them as parallel worlds, not quite alternate realities, but that is the type of story that they often lend themselves to. So that's what a crisis typically deals with. The last one that officially came in the DC universe was Final Crisis, which came in 2009, and I believe in 2010, before the New 52 even launched in 2011. So it's been some time, nearly a decade, since DC has thrown around crisis language quite like this, and Dark Knight's metal is not afraid to play in that territory. Now, Batman is typically associated with a street-level hero, which is why metal becomes so interesting. He is playing on a level he's not typically dealing with the exceptions like Cosmic Odyssey, Jim Starlin and Mike Mignola creative endeavor from the 80s, or of course literally any time he's on the Justice League Watchtower in things like Justice League the Animated Series. So Cosmic Batman essentially discovering forces from a dark multiverse. Now the multiverse has been mapped and cataloged in the DC universe. It's part of what makes the DC cosmos and cosmic entities so interesting. There's a series called Multiversity from writer Grant Morrison that quite literally has a map of every single Earth in the DC multiverse. Earth 1 on down to Earth 52, exactly what that Earth is like. Some of them are Marvel superhero analogs. Some are dark, or so dark's the wrong word to use in this context, but twisted versions of the Justice League. And what Batman discovers is that there's a backside to that map. There's a dark multiverse, and they have been using him literally since the dawn of man to plan their assault on the multiverse proper. So you have these dark multiverse players, Barbados being the main one, essentially a giant bat dragon from the dark multiverse, and he brings his Dark Knights, seven dark multiverse Batmen, each with their own unique backstory and combination of Batman and Justice League powers. So, for example, you have the Red Death, which is a combination of Batman and the Flash's powers. You have the Merciless, a combination of Batman and Wonder Woman's powers, and they invade and send the Justice League scrambling. So throughout Metal, we wind up with a team of both Batman and Superman in the dark multiverse scrambling to try and save the day. And then on Earth Zero, you have the likes of Wonder Woman, Kendra Saunders, aka Hawkgirl or Hawkwoman, in what is by far her biggest DC rebirth appearance so far, Dr. Fate, Green Lantern, Flash, Cyborg to a degree, Aquaman, Deathstroke joining the fray, Nightwing, Green Arrow, Damian Wayne, and Harley Quinn forming the resistance to the Dark Knights. Okay, great. So we have this interesting cosmic story with Batman that spans space and time. What is the history and background that you need? So in comic books, frequently, there's a context, especially to superhero events, that helps us understand them. This brings us to our big picture theme for the episode, which is continuity heavy versus continuity light events. What wins? There is a perpetual desire in comics to offer a story that is a complete fresh start, right? Marvel in 2018 summer will be launching an initiative that is literally called Fresh Start. Now that is atrocious naming in my opinion. Nonetheless, it clearly indicates, please, comic readers, come. We know you want to check out these heroes. We know you want to check out stories. Start here. What comic readers find, though, more often than not, is there are references to things that have already happened, and oh look, there are stories that go back to the 1960s, in DC case, the late 1930s. Now, continuity doesn't necessarily tie back that tightly throughout all that time, and you don't necessarily need to read everything. Nonetheless, there is a great and potentially overwhelming swath of material that readers can look back on and say, oh my goodness, I have to read all this just to check out one story? No thank you. That's not the case with metal, or really most events, but especially metal. It's somewhat unique in that it doesn't actually pick up on continuity of the moment. For all intents and purposes, it skips over the current state of affairs of much of DC Rebirth. Now, DC Rebirth is the DC era, essentially, of comic book continuity that launched in the summer of 2016. So we're coming up on 2 years of DC Rebirth. When Metal launched, it was closer to 1 year. And that isn't to say Metal contradicts where the state of the DC universe is as of Rebirth, so much as it generally avoids what these characters are doing in their DC Rebirth books. For example, Batman, in his comic book series written by Tom King with a variety of excellent artists like Michael Janin or Joel Jones, he is, for the last 30 issues now, essentially going through an engagement with Catwoman. That is not brought up here. It's not a part of this story. Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo very much pick up on their own New 52 run on the character, and I have to say, it doesn't feel like an oversight. It doesn't feel like things are missed. Honestly, it just feels like a cleaner entrance point if you know the touch points that they're referencing. So the big DC Rebirth continuity building block actually came with DC Universe Rebirth number 1, and those seeds are picked up in the series Doomsday Clock, which is currently 4 issues in by Geoff Johns, and I'm blanking on the artist's name, and I'm probably going to be a little too lazy to edit this out. I'm going to go with Gary Frank. So there's an upside to Metal, which is it doesn't request the heavy lifting of the DC Rebirth era, the same way Doomsday Clock at least suggests to so far. Nonetheless, this is a continuity-heavy event in that its continuity just reaches back farther and deeper and across a wider swath of DC history. You can find a complete list of suggested reading on my guide. Again, go to comicbookherald.com/metal. But for my money, the following are important, occasionally essential pieces of the puzzle. You have Snyder and Capullo's New 52 run on Batman, which I've mentioned. The Geoff Johns era writing Hawkman, which comes from the early 2000s, actually plays a surprising role in Metal. Hawkman is positioned as the lead investigator, essentially, into Barbados and the Dark Multiverse. He actually beats Batman to the punch by virtue of being an archaeologist and detective well before Batman's even really around Gotham City, because Hawkman is reincarnated and spans multiple lifetimes. We also have what I would call the Grant Morrison influence on DC history and the DC universe, in particular his work on a comic called Batman: The Return of Bruce Wayne, which follows in the wake of Final Crisis, which follows in the wake of his long-running Batman series. There's a deep rabbit hole you can go on there, which frankly I would recommend. It's excellent comic book reading. And then you have Grant Morrison's work on Multiversity, which is another favorite of mine. It's inside my top 100 favorite comics of all time on the Best Comics Ever list. And if you want a taste of what Morrison's going to bring to the table, he actually comes into the fray as a co-writer on the tie-in issue DC The Wild Hunt, or Metal The Wild Hunt, and he has things like The Flash stating, "Come in, Mayday, Mayday, everything, everywhere is going to die. Flash calling the House of Heroes, SOS!" So Morrison is hyperbolic in all the best ways that you want from a comic. And then finally, there's more, but in a more roundabout way, you even have things like Vertigo Sandman, famously written by Neil Gaiman, playing a role in Metal for the first time, Sandman really playing a role in the fabric of the DC universe. So there's a lot going on here. I had a situation earlier this year where my brother-in-law actually asked me about reading Metal. You'd have to be mental to dive into this, because he asked about reading Metal, and I sent him this list. And this is where comic book continuity can feel like this great imposing burden, because his response went from excitement to, and I quote, oh my god, I just looked at your pre-reading stuff for this, it's bonkers. So there's a downside to heavy continuity. It's intimidating and off-putting to potentially start. I can't even count the number of times, and this isn't just metal, where I've seen comic book readers say, I really want to start, but it's so stinking intimidating. X-Men. It's confusing to new readers. Final Crisis is the ultimate example of this to me, an event that is stated as a standalone issue. You've probably seen the famous Final Crisis hardcover cover drawn by J.G. Jones of Superman holding a seemingly lifeless Batman body. It seems like the sort of DC story that you might want to read and dive into. And my goodness, that one written by Grant Morrison. If you dive in without a deep and abiding love of the DC universe, it is impossible. It is unenjoyable because it doesn't make any sense. So you can have these heavy continuity stories that are too reliant on references. They're bogged down in explaining and exposition. There's a moment in Metal Number 2 where Bruce shows up with a baby Darkseid, the god of apocalypse. And it's either the greatest, coolest moment you've ever seen, or it's the most insane, confusing thing you've ever read. There's a quote from Wonder Woman in that issue where she says, Darkseid, Bruce, just because he's been transformed into a baby doesn't make him any less dangerous. This is an insane thing to say any way you cut it, but it's particularly nuts if you haven't read or have a familiarity with DC's Darkseid War, which came in the New 52, in which Darkseid is in fact turned into a baby. So you have these heavy continuity things, and they can also just be living in the past. You need these events to do something new in order to captivate both old, lapsed, and long-time readers. The rewards of heavy continuity are immense, though. You have growing, exciting storylines that have been left for additional creators, such as Multiversity. You have a story that makes an impossible kind of sense, like you're speaking a secret language. This is a huge part of why I love metal so much. It speaks to comic book fans who have obsessed over the DC universe and the works of Morrison and the works of Johns and the works of Snyder and Capullo. Again, it's this code. It's this deep and abiding love of all of these things and bringing them to the surface in a way that just only makes sense when you've been exposed to them before. So you're rewarded for loving comics. A degree in Grant Morrison is the only way you're going to get through the Wild Hunt. It allows for shortcuts. There's less establishing shots and more room for just being crazy, which Snyder and Capullo really dive into here. Their Batman was pretty grounded and pretty serious. Metal takes it to the 11th degree of insanity. You have moments like Batman riding a dinosaur out of an island. You have moments like the Bat Family all wearing clone masking technology on their faces to look like Bruce Wayne, and 11-year-old Damian Wayne driving a Bat-Hog being chased by the Justice League. And that's only the slightest start in some of the least crazy elements of the story. So, at a certain level, I do think Snyder and Capullo pull off the challenge of filling metal to the brim with both rich tapestry of DCU history and just flat-out fun elements that don't require a doctorate in dork. You don't need to have read any comics to find the Man Who Laughs a terrifying and chilling new villain. You don't need literally anything to enjoy the cosmic insanity of Batman punching a Joker dragon in the face and flying it into battle. You don't need to have read a single Justice League comic to get joyous tingles at Wonder Woman telling Kendra Saunders, "Do something for me. Yell. As we do this, yell so loud Barbados in that laughing Batman's ears burst. So loud they understand. It's not a scream. It's never a scream. It's a war cry." And I'll leave you there for this first edition of Best Comics Ever, presented by Comic Book Herald. This episode was written, produced, and hosted by Dave Busing. I'm the editor and founder-in-chief, and you can find out more about me at www.comicbookherald.com or on Twitter at Comic Book Herald. The Best Comics Ever podcast is brought to you by support of patrons, on patreon.com/comicbookherald. You can find ways to support and keep episodes like this coming to help us improve the quality and regularity and frequency and just overall product offered by Comic Book Herald, helping new and lapsed and longtime readers enjoy comics. I'd also like to credit music was written and provided by Anthony Weiss. You can find more of Anthony's music at anthonyweiss.com. And I will leave you there. Stay tuned. Next week we'll have more on metal. We'll be looking at where does metal rank among the comic book events this decade. We'll be looking throughout the month as well at where does it rank among the best comics ever on the best comics of all time list. So for now, this is DC Metal. I'm Dave Busing. Enjoy the comics.